Welcome to my super secret podcast. I started this show for the purpose of having a platform where I can say and discuss whatever I want. I have another podcast, but after receiving pushback from relatives about some of the content, I figured the only way to get around this was to have a secret podcast that they didn't know about. I don't know if this is a good idea, but I guess I'll find out. I'm James, your secret host. This show is going to be about news, tech, a little entertainment, and anything else I feel like talking about. I'm open to suggestions, so feel free to email me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. Come join me on this journey, and together we will see where this all goes. So, what's going on? Well, around here, there seems to be a bit of optimism in the air around this area that the shelter-in-place orders will be lifted on May 15th, and things will be getting back to normal. While upstate New York might experience this, I doubt New York City and its close suburbs will. The curve has been flattening in the city, but it's not where I live, as infections, hospitalizations, and deaths have actually increased in this area. When the weather warmed up this week, many more people were out and about, and a lot without masks. Even while going to a medical appointment this afternoon, I marveled at the amount of people I saw walking around without any protective equipment on. The so-called experts are predicting a second wave this fall, and I can see this happening with the way people are already relaxing their protective measures. Cool tech. I'm a proud owner of the Motiv Ring. This piece of tech packs a heart rate monitor, step counter, and what's the most important feature to me, a sleep tracker. I'm in the Apple ecosystem, but the Apple Watch can't really track sleep because of the limitation of its battery life. Before receiving the Motiv Ring as a gift, I didn't bother wearing a wedding band. But the functionality built into this small form factor has caused me to constantly wear this ring. The only time I don't wear the ring is when I need to charge it. This occurs every couple of days, and it takes about 20 minutes to get a full charge. Now that I have a reason to wear a wedding band, this made the one whom must be obeyed very happy. And if she's happy, well, I'm happy too. But unfortunately, this story doesn't have a happy ending. Last week it was announced that Motiv had been purchased by a digital identification company named Proxy. I wondered to myself, why a digital identification company want with a fitness ring company? Along with the fitness features that were included in the Motiv Ring, there was a feature called Walk ID that could authenticate you by the gait of your walk. Proxy is looking to replace swipe cards and the like, so this would be the perfect form factor for a replacement of those items. Motiv stated that they will continue supporting the rings and its companion app, but we'll see for how long. As far as Proxy goes, I don't think they have any plans on releasing consumer products, so if you're in the market for a smart ring, the Oura Ring, and that's spelled O-U-R-A, is the only, and unfortunately, more expensive choice. What I'm watching. I said in the last episode that I was planning on binge-watching the show Mystic Quest, which is on the Apple TV Plus streaming service. It's a comedy which is a genre I appreciate. Is the show funny? Surprisingly, yes. I'll add a caveat to that, though. You have to get past a generous amount of virtue signaling, which seems to be a common thread that runs through all the Apple shows that I have previously watched on Apple's service. Once you are able to do that, you'll find a show that is well-written, acted, and produced. The episodes have many hilarious twists and turns, which will keep you guessing. One of the episodes featured a throwback to the late 90s, which, in my opinion, deserves its own series. This show reminds me of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I also like. If you like well-written, campy humor, then you will enjoy this series. I also watched one episode of the rebooted Amazing Stories. Again, I found the show to be well-written and acted, and a quality production. What stopped me from watching more episodes was that the story was kind of sad. There's enough sadness going on right now, and I don't need anything to add to it. I'll try and watch more episodes when I get the chance. What I'm listening to. As I said last episode, I've been rewatching the classic series The Sopranos on HBO. I just found out that two actors from that series have just launched a podcast about the show. It's called Talking Sopranos, and it has a weekly schedule. It is hosted by Michael Imperioli, who played Chris Moltisanti, and Steve Sciarippa, who played Bobby Bacala. The podcast has an interesting backstory. It had been in the works for about 6 months. The hosts were to start recording in a New York studio in March, but of course, that was all interrupted by the outbreak of the coronavirus. The show was to be highly produced with writers, audio engineers, and a full supporting staff. When the full impact of the pandemic was realized, with Mr. Imperioli stranded in California and Mr. Sciarippa locked down in Manhattan, the company behind the production decided to shelve the whole project. Well, that's when fans of The Sopranos started a successful campaign on social media for the host to launch the podcast anyway. The host decided to launch the podcast on their own without the high production standards and supporting staff. Now, the audio quality isn't the best, and some guests that were scheduled to appear on the show had to be canceled also. If the original production team is still involved, they could have provided the host with better equipment than the Blue Yeti microphones both are using. Also, the hosts are using the microphones incorrectly. At the time of this recording, their show is on its 7th episode. It's in the watch-along format, and there are 6 seasons to get through, so hopefully when the country opens up again, the high production quality the podcast was supposed to have will be implemented. But anyway, hats off to the hosts for doing this and giving the fans something to listen to during these troubling times. War stories, or this actually happened. This war story took place on October 19th, 1986, in the Republic of Korea. It was my birthday, so my buddy and I, who I'll call Butterfly Guy, decided to go to Kunsan City to celebrate. I was also going to treat myself to a visit with a woman called Scarface, who had a very particular specialty I wanted to partake in. I called her Scarface because she had a huge scar running down the left side of her otherwise attractive face. It looked like she was on the wrong side of a razor blade. It was a scar that couldn't be covered up with makeup, no matter how much she applied. Scarface was based at an upstairs apartment in a building we called the Coke House because an advertisement for the product was installed on the side of the building. A feature of the structure was an unusually steep staircase, which was very hard to navigate on the way down, especially if you had a few drinks in you. A small bar was located beside the Coke House, and Butterfly Guy agreed to wait for me there while I had my visit with Scarface. A little while later, after my visit with Scarface, which is a whole story unto itself, I made my way down that steep stairway to the street. Making it to the sidewalk in one piece, I was greeted with an unusual sight. A crowd of about 10 Korean gentlemen were standing in a circle in the middle of the street, intently watching something within the circle. Two taxicabs, one on either side of the circle, waited with their engines idling. Now, some people, while drinking, get angry and want to fight. Others get silly, and yet others get tired and go to sleep. Well, I get curious while inebriated and wind up sticking my nose where it really doesn't belong. These days, I go down the rabbit hole of YouTube to satisfy that drunken urge. Wading into the crowd of Korean guys, my curiosity was in tow. I made my way to the front to get a good look at what was so interesting. These guys didn't even notice me. Instead, they concentrated on what was taking place before them. And what was taking place? Well, two Korean guys were stomping the living crap out of a third Korean guy who lay unconscious on the ground. After recovering from my initial shock at what I was witnessing, I asked out loud to no one in particular, "What did this guy do?" Now aware that I was amongst them because of my use of English, they all took off in a hurry along with one of the taxis. The other cab remained. I guess he figured one way or another, he'd get a fare. Next, I had the idea to pick up the unconscious man and place him in the taxi, then pay the driver to take him to the hospital. While attempting to do this, a Korean man came out of nowhere and knocked the beaten man out of my arms and back onto the ground. So I made another attempt at it, but was foiled again by that Flash Gordon of a Korean. This time he followed up by giving me a bear hug while saying, and I quote, "I sally, I sally." I'll never want to waste a great setup, I replied, "Nice to meet you, Sally. I'm Jim." I pushed the man off me, and I noticed that he had the crap beaten out of him too, most likely by the same group that I had just dispersed. He was lucky enough to get away, so his beating wasn't nearly as serious as his still lying on the ground unconscious friend. His beating was still bad enough for him to leave a huge blood-red stain on my nice white shirt when he hugged me. About this time, Butterfly Guy ambled up to me, looked down at the ground at the poor unconscious man, then looked at my now blood-stained shirt and said, "Yeah, man, you really got him. I guess he pissed you off. I'm out of here," as he started off down the street, walking faster than I had ever seen him walk before. Realizing that Guy thought that this was my handiwork, I shouted after him that I didn't do the deed. I don't know if he heard me or not, because he continued his walk and never acknowledged anything. Then a car slowly pulled up, its African-American occupant surveying the scene. The driver rolled down his window and said to me, "Damn, bro, you went full Rambo." I told him the same thing I told Guy, that I didn't do anything. The driver replied, "Sure, bro, sure," then accelerated down the street. Now, if I was smart, I would have jumped into that still-waiting taxi and gotten away from there. But I had been drinking since dinner time, and it was now after midnight, so my thinking wasn't as sharp as it could have been. And suddenly, out of the woodwork, all these older Korean women came out, and looking at the scene before them in the exact sequence that Guy did, and unfortunately coming to the same conclusion, started yelling at me, some in Korean and some in English. Things like, "You too much big man, why you a hurt Golian man," and more stuff like that was flung my way. I kept denying everything, but no one seemed to believe me. Then, an old woman with crutches hobbled up next to me with fire in her eyes and told me she was going to call the police. I again proclaimed my innocence, but she wasn't buying it. I then had my first good idea of the evening, well, now morning. I told the lady with crutches to ask the cab driver what had happened as the conscious Korean guy was busy attending to his unconscious friend. She did what I asked, and after a few minutes of consultation with the cabbie, she hobbled back to me and announced to the angry crowd what she had learned from the exchange with the cabbie. The crowd now calmed down and, after realizing the show was over, started leaving and getting back to whatever the hell they were doing before this incident came to their attention. The crutch lady looked up at me and said, "You a nice guy. You want to come my house? I have nice girl for you." I politely turned down her offer and, now disappointed, she left. Well, the guy that I tried to help out at the beginning of this debacle had regained his consciousness and made his way to a small alley on the side of the Coke house. I stood there watching in awe as he retrieved a small motorcycle, started it up, and then rode up to his waiting friend. He hopped off the bike and started towards me. As he got closer to me, I noticed that his left cheekbone was exposed through his skin. One eye was completely swollen shut, and the other was halfway there. He thanked me, gave me a head bow, and went back to his bike. His friend jumped on behind him, and they both rode off into the night. The taxi was still there, and I jumped in. I told the driver to take me to A-Town, which was a small village that catered to GIs. It featured two bars that were open all night, and I needed a drink and hoped to catch up with Butterfly Guy so we could continue where we left off. During the 30-minute ride, I reflected on what had just happened and realized a couple of things. Firstly, Koreans are some tough people. And secondly, I couldn't rely on Butterfly Guy to back me up in a sticky situation. Of course, later he would tell his version of what happened that night to anyone who'd listen. No one bothered to ask me my version, so I gained an unearned reputation which unfortunately would follow me to Daegu City and then onto the Philippines. Some people wanted nothing to do with me, but most wanted to hang out with me. I became a popular, in high demand, drinking companion. I guess they wanted to be entertained by the potential of seeing a so-called wild man in action. This may or may not be true, or conspiracies. A research professor at the University of Pittsburgh, who was supposedly on the verge of making very significant findings about the new coronavirus, according to fellow researchers, was killed in a suspected murder-suicide over last weekend, authorities reported. Bing Liu, note the surname, age 37, was found shot multiple times in his home last Saturday. Mr. Liu had been home alone when Hua Gu, again, note the surname, entered the property and shot him several times. Gu was believed to have taken his own life inside his car a short distance away. The local police department was quoted as saying that they had found zero evidence that Mr. Liu's death had anything to do with any work being conducted in regard to the coronavirus. Okay, I'll give you a second to put on your tinfoil hats. Are they on? Okay, I have some questions. The victim, who was Chinese but from Singapore, was an all-star at researching viruses and had published over 30 books on the subject. He was married with a couple of children, so doesn't it seem strange that his wife and children would be out while supposedly under shelter-in-place orders? If this was a planned trip, why didn't he accompany his family? The murderer, also Chinese but with ties to mainland China, waited until he got to his car before supposedly killing himself. Why wait to do it in the car? If the two men were feuding, why did the murderer decide to strike at this time during the pandemic? Also, neither of the men were U.S. citizens. How did they come to be in this country? Were they on work visas? Perhaps the murder-suicide was a Ministry of State security operation because China wants to be the first to possess a cure for the COVID-19 virus. When was the last time Mr. Gu visited mainland China? How was he able to obtain a weapon in this country if he wasn't a U.S. citizen? Was Mr. Liu's wife a citizen? What's her connection to mainland China? Or, Mr. Liu was close to cracking the coronavirus and that caught Big Pharma's attention. They got together with their Chinese partners in crime and got Mr. Gu to do the dirty work. What he didn't know was that the MSS was waiting to silence him so he could never tell his tale. These are all questions that need to be answered before this one can be put to bed. What do you think really happened? It's time to get up and get out of here. See you next time. If you have any suggestions, email me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. I'll look forward to hearing from you. If you get bored or want to fall asleep, listen to my other podcast, OFNT, Old Fart, New Tech. Remember, don't tell anybody about this. It's our secret. Take care.